Okay.
Hi.
Hey, we just now got home from our second trip together in Colorado.
Our second Colorado camping trip.
And this was a last minute decision.
It was. It was fun though. I'm glad we did it.
Yeah, me too. I think it proved the accessibility of the outdoors because we just decided about an hour before leaving to go and grab this cool book that Robbie gave us, the third edition of The Guide to Northern Colorado Back Roads and Four-Wheel Drive Trails.
Wow, that's a really big title.
Yeah, and they've got... This is kind of a cool book because they've got a website as well, which I didn't actually realize until right before we left. But the website has the same routes on it. And I guess I should just say what the book is. It's a book that just has a bunch of off-road trails. And most of them look like they're for trucks.
Yeah.
So they're not OHV trails or anything. And this book has 80 of them. And they're all pretty close to Denver within like an hour, hour and a half, something like that. And... on the website, you can download the GPS tracks too.
So oh, fun.
If you don't want to look at a book while you drive, or if you don't want to build your own track, you can download it there. So that's what we did. And we did trail number 52 in the book.
That looks familiar.
Which is called Williams Peak Road.
Oh, and do you think that little mountain was Williams Peak? Oh, no, the top is probably Williams Peak.
Yeah, the very end of it. It's an out and back, so it doesn't go all the way through. It's about 12 miles long, and it started... 90 minutes from home.
Yes.
So.
But we can only drive like 5 miles an hour on that road.
Yeah.
Well, at least in current conditions. Maybe in the summer you can, but I think even in the summer, you probably wouldn't drive very fast on that.
Yeah, it's tough to say. So we just got a bunch of snow. So there was lots and lots of snow up there.
Lots of snow.
And hunting season as well.
Yes.
So we were the only people up there not hunting. We actually saw somebody taking an animal apart on the side of the road.
They had just finished skinning. It looked like a deer. Not 100% sure. Just saw the ears.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw some intestines, some organs.
Little blood trail as well.
A little blood trail. I mean, I personally won't hunt because I'm a baby. But I get it. And I have nothing really against hunting. People use it to feed themselves and their families. And it looked like a really good family bonding. There was lots of like families with like kids and, you know, whatever. It's great. And nobody seemed to be bothered that we weren't hunting.
Yeah,
and that I was wearing the wrong color of orange. I was wearing more of a mango as opposed to like a traffic cone.
And I was all blacked out.
And you were completely blacked out. So you were, you know, everyone was super nice. I mean, we didn't talk to anybody, but...
lots
everyone was waving, and like that one family that passed us like six times. Towards the end, we had very like highly animated waves, like "Oh hi, yeah." it's nice because everything is so close to Denver. We don't have to drive for like 6 or 8 hours to get someplace, which is really nice. Everything here is beautiful, especially since it was like snow covered. Then we found a really nice outlook, so we could overlook the reservoir in the mountains,
yeah,
and the valley.
I think we probably went a little bit over halfway, so not really that far.
Yeah, we passed the 5 mile marker. Mm-hmm. I saw that. So,
yeah, and there was a good spot to stop. And sundown is at 5.
The snow was getting really deep.
Yep, getting really deep. And we were kind of worried about it freezing more overnight because it was slush and pretty deep, like the height of the wheels. And so if we went too much further and it froze, then it would be ice. It'd be kind of gnarly getting back.
But yeah, because what was it? It was like 65.
Yeah.
60 on our way in. And then this morning when we were coming out, it was 29.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, big temperature change. But that seems to be Colorado in general.
And the hunters had a good strategy. They all brought like recreational vehicles. So they would drive, they all park their truck somewhere convenient, and then they jumped out in their little quads.
Quads.
There was quads and side by sides.
The quads were super cute because they had the little like hand warmers, and then they had spots for their guns, and then they had the tubs attached to them. So I think that's for whatever they kill,
mm-hmm.
so they can just like take the animal out piece by piece. If it's a bigger animal, if it's a smaller animal, like a we saw a lot of rabbits. Yep. They could just throw a few rabbits in there and then head back to their truck. So yeah, there's definitely a strategy to getting way out there and not having to haul like your ginormous truck or your, they also had these little like temporary shelters that had full on like wood stoves in them.
Yeah, they look like almost like houses, except made out of fabric. So they would, it's like right. A really nice tent.
And one of them was open.
They all had chimneys coming out.
And they'd have full kitchens in there.
Yeah, and I think a wood heater and stove
that's
combo.
That's what the chimney was for. Yeah.
And it wasn't just one person. It was multiple campsites were set up that way.
And you could see where people had just left because there was a perfect like rectangle or square with no snow. And it was completely dry underneath. Mm-hmm. So you knew that there had been a shelter right there. But yeah, it was really fun. It was so beautiful. The sunset was gorgeous. We got there in enough time to be able to explore. We did like a mini hike. And then Baxter and I did a lot of exploring while you were setting up. Then we had, obviously, the family photo shoots over the, vistas.
Yeah, lots of photos per usual. When the sun goes down and when the sun comes up.
Yeah, it's so pretty. You got
to
do it.
It's like impossible not to do nothing but take photos.
The only bummer part is we couldn't get our campfire started. I think if we had our campfire, it would have been way more fun.
Mm-hmm.
I miss some of my favorite camping times are when we get to camp early enough and we get a really good fire going and we can just like chillax around the fire.
Yeah, and we tried. I mean, we brought dry wood. I brought some two-stroke gasoline, so it has oil and gas mixed together.
And we shoved paper towels in there. We shoved, like, dry grass in there. I think the wind was just too much for it.
Yeah.
It was really windy.
Fantastic fire for about 30 seconds.
I think maybe we got a whole 90 seconds out of it.
But yeah, the wood just wouldn't catch.
No. I mean, it would catch, but then we didn't have enough, like, small kindling pieces for like one log would kind of catch on the end, and then because there was nothing around it, there was nothing for it to like really get everyone on fire. So
yeah, and the wind just kind of blew it out.
Yeah, the wind was pretty intense. So, but that was like really the only downside of the whole trip was not being able to have a fire, and that not really. Because once the sun went down, it got cold really fast.
God, I was so... there were so many times, too, where I was concerned about getting stuck, and the truck didn't even flinch.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, the truck was, like, a champion.
It was so good. The truck impresses me so much. And it's not even, like, the best off-road truck. It's just, like... it's like probably the most popular truck by far because they're so cheap and small, but it's unbelievable.
But you did some like nice upgrades on it. Like you lifted the suspension and you put bigger tires on it. And those tires
were
really good.
Yeah, the tires were good because a lot of people out there had chains on.
Yeah.
And we didn't do chains, the tires were pretty good. And I forget what they are. They're like the BFG KO2s or something like that.
I don't know. All I think of is when I hear BFG is the big friendly giant.
Yeah, BF Goodrich, I think is what it stands for. But the cool, to add to the incredibleness of these tires, we, for the past
year,
for as long as I can remember, we've had a leak in our back. Well, it's not our back right tire because we rotate our tires every 3,000 miles, but one of our tires, which is currently in the back right position, leaks air. And so we've been losing about 10 to 15 PSI currently is what we're losing. But in the past, it's kind of slowly ramped up to that. It started a little bit slower. But now for the past, like, I don't know, a few months, it's maybe 10 or 15 PSI a day.
Ever since we came to Colorado, it's been a lot more.
Yeah. And so it's, something we think about where every morning under the hood, we have a compressor, so it's not a big deal. Every morning, just add air to the tire, get it back up to 35, 36, and then we don't think about it for the rest of the day. And then, the next morning, do it again. And then, during the week when we're at home and it's parked in the parking garage, it'll go sometimes a week or sometimes 2 weeks without us putting air in it. So it'll go all the way down to 5, 6 PSI. It'll basically go completely flat. So there's an issue with the tire, but we haven't known what it was.
And it's not like such an urgent thing where our tire is going to go flat when we're on the freeway. It's not a danger. It's just
I mean, it could be just because we didn't know what's yeah. causing it.
But I mean, we drove from San Francisco to Denver, mm-hmm. and I mean, we've done lots of road trips, and it's never been a safety hazard. It was more just like a mild inconvenience at first, and now it's just part of life. But we got
when we got to camp yesterday, there is this high pitch, like almost like
a
whine or like a little siren, and we're like, what the hell is this? Because there's nobody around us.
No.
And I'm opening up the car or I'm opening up the doors going inside. I lift up the camper. I'm thinking maybe it's like the solar panel, whatever thing, the thing that regulates the voltage, like the solar panel voltage regulator. Maybe it's some kind of little alarm going off. Nothing. I'm looking around. Maybe it's our fridge.
And then I lean over and I'm like, it's our tire. That sound is coming from our tire. I was like, there must be like moisture over it. So that's why we're hearing the air physically leave the tire.
It was so loud. Yeah, because we had all the snow packed on the wheel.
Yeah.
And and so I look down, I take my finger and dig the snow out to find out where the sound's coming from. And we have a nail stuck in our tire.
So we've had a nail stuck in our tire for like a year.
Yeah. It's got to be the same. That's got to be what's causing the leak this whole time, because the amount of air we're losing is the same as it's always been. So yeah. It's not like a second hole. So it's got to be what it is. But the tread on these tires is so deep that it was basically invisible, because it's between two of the knobbies that come out of the tire. So it went right through the thin part of the tire there. So it's almost invisible unless you're looking for it. But if you look for it, you could see it. It's the head of the nail.
Right, because you're like, there's a nail in our tire. And I'm sitting there thinking, we've brought this truck in so many times for service and they've rotated our tires. How did nobody notice there's a nail in our freaking tire? But of course, you've also never told them that there's an air pressure issue with one of the tires. So yeah. They probably weren't really looking.
Anyways, we've been thinking, we need to replace those anyway. We're about 30,000 miles, which is like a good time to swap them out. But now I'm even more, now that I know it's actual nail, I'm for some reason I'm more concerned about it. Not knowing what it was, I'm like, eh. But now that I know it's a nail, and I don't want to take the nail out.
No, because that would make it way worse.
But you could put a...
You could put a patch on it.
You could put
something.
A plug. You put a plug in, because these are, most car trucks, including this one, are tubeless. Well, all are. I've never heard of a truck having tubes. So yeah, I think they're all tubeless. But yeah, you just stick a plug in and it'd probably actually work well, but we got to replace them anyway. So
yeah, we'll just do it. But that was kind of like an aha moment.
Mm-hmm.
And if we would have never known if it hadn't been for the snow packed in.
Yeah. And something else cool we tried this trip, because it's really cold outside.
I mean, not right now. It's 65 and sunny.
Well,
but.
Here, but up in the mountains, it's below freezing. So we decided to try again a heater, the Mr. Buddy heaters.
The
I
little
think is
buddy,
what they're called. Little buddy heaters.
Little buddy.
They're little propane heaters.
Yeah.
That apparently have 100% burn off, so all the gas that goes through them gets burned, so they're safe to use indoors.
Yes.
The only tricky part about using them indoors is obviously like...
There's an open flame.
Yeah. I guess there's multiple tricky things. One, you have a flame inside your tent.
Scary.
But the other thing is like flames require oxygen, obviously. So yeah. You have to have ventilation, because otherwise your heater will consume all your oxygen.
But this heater has that little shut off, right?
It in theory, it will shut off, but I don't know.
Yeah. But we had the little windows open, so we were fine.
Yeah, it's drafty enough too. I really don't think it's an issue.
But yeah, I got nice and toasty. I wish we'd had that last winter when we were driving from Seattle through Chelan, mm-hmm. and because a couple of those nights, I mean, when we got to camp before the sun went down, it was 22.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I got nice and toasty. Only drawback of being nice and toasty is you get really thirsty and then you want to drink water. And then you have to get up in the middle of the night in the freezing cold to go outside, which I didn't, as a matter of fact. I didn't even go to the bathroom until we got to the gas station at like, what, 8?
Yeah.
This morning. You can see we got up at
probably
6.
Went like a solid 14 hours, 15 hours.
It's fine. Dehydration sometimes is your best friend.
Yeah, it worked really well, though, and it takes those little green
camping propanes.
Like, I think they're like the 1 pound canisters or something.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't even finish a can. So that's cool.
Yeah, we just had it on last night when you were finishing up, cleaning up for dinner and when we were watching TV on the iPad. And then this morning, just to keep our hands from going completely numb.
Yeah, we usually, before taking off in camp, we're pretty quick in the morning because we don't eat breakfast. So we usually just wake up, feed the animal, make coffee, and break down camp. It takes not very long, but we use the heater for the coffee, which is kind of cool. We just cranked it up on high on the tailgate.
Yeah.
And even though we weren't in an enclosed area,
it was still nice.
It put out enough heat that it felt warm behind the truck.
Yeah. I left Baxter's water dish out overnight. So he had like this, you know, half inch layer of ice at the bottom of his bowl that I like melted out, and he wouldn't drink it, but you know, he at least got his bowl cleaned out. So that was nice. The heater was nice this morning. I think we have things pretty well set for our big trip to Seattle mm-hmm. in December. The only thing I wish we could do, and I don't know that we're going to have time, energy, motivation, or money to do it, is I would like to get a different mattress.
Yeah.
Or some sort of mattress topper, because like one night is okay, but like multiple nights, like my hips just ache.
Yeah, I've got a position I only sleep in the camper.
Right. And then you snore all night mm-hmm. and then my hip hurts and I can't sleep because you're snoring. So I just lay there for hours until you finally move positions. Yeah, it's not ideal. I mean, it's fine. I'll survive. I'm not going to die. But if we're going to be camping like 3 and 4 nights in a row, it'd be nice to be a little bit more comfortable.
Yeah, the mattress that's in there is actually so we bought our camper, Vagabond camper, used from Brian who was in Seattle. I don't know where he's at now. He lives in his truck, so he's all over the place. But
yeah.
The mattress that's in there is actually their firm mattress. So it's not even the normal plushness.
It was a special one, right?
Yeah, so it's not even that expensive, really, but the only downside is they got to make it. So that's going to be tricky. We might be able to get one we might be able to stop on the way back or the way there if we go through San Francisco.
Yeah, maybe we can, because we need to get our fan fixed anyways.
Yeah. But yeah, we definitely won't have it, you know, before we go.
Yeah.
Because we'll have to visit them.
I know. I know. A girl can dream.
that was a lot of fun. I needed that. We haven't gone camping in the truck for a while.
I know. I always like stress out because I have to work so much on the weekends to mm-hmm. be prepared for the week that it always kind of stresses me out a little bit. But I've never regretted it. I've never regretted us taking those camping days.
Yeah.
It's always been good. Yeah.
It's nice to go. It's nice to go outside and just like freeze your ass off a little bit and be uncomfortable and mm-hmm. not look at your phone and you know what I mean? It's nice.
It's good for Baxter too.
Yeah, it's good for Baxter.
He needs to be reset. Although this camping trip was probably his second most stressful camping trip.
Why? Why is that?
Because of all the gunshots.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was hiding under the truck. I had to pull him out from under the truck.
Yeah.
He's not a hunter dog. He does not enjoy gunshots.
No. Thank goodness people don't hunt in the middle of the night.
I know. God, that would have been a disaster.
Yeah. At least he's not like trying to rip our sleeping bags apart.
It's funny because, it's not funny, but I feel like when we lived in San Francisco, you could hear gunshots from the street. And he seems okay with them if he's inside a house. But if he's outside in an unknown area, he gets really upset.
Yeah. I mean, it could just be the contrast because it's completely quiet and then you hear the boom rather than it being insanely loud with ambulances everywhere and people screaming and pooping on the street. And then you hear a gunshot. It's different.
There's a lot of other noises in San Francisco. Maybe it just is part of the background shenanigans.
So besides the mattress, what other improvements would you want before doing the longer weekish trip to Seattle?
I think we need to get like some milk crates or something to have things just like camping organized things. Like I really, really, really would like to figure out a way for us to like be able to really wash our hands better.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the problem is that in the morning, like the water's been sitting out and it's freezing cold and we don't really have any soap. And so we have to wait until we get to like a gas station or a Starbucks or, you know, to like wash our hands. And given I have to like put in contacts every morning, I would like to be able to have clean hands.
Yeah. And like wash our faces.
Yeah.
It's like hot water would be nice.
Hot water.
Yeah. We could heat up because we already heat up water for coffee. We could heat up a second water.
I mean, when we clean off the skillet at night, once it's clean, could we just dump some water in there and heat up some water in the skillet?
Yeah. But that would be at night, not in the morning. That's the thing.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's kind of in the morning. You want the hot water, wash your face and your hands and stuff.
Yeah. So we maybe need like a bowl that we can boil some water and then put it in the bowl and we can both like dip our hands in or something.
Yeah. Or we can use, so what we use to heat up our water is it's basically jet boil. It's the MSR version of the jet boil.
Yeah.
Heats up water in like a couple minutes. We can just pour right out of that too.
That's true.
Heat it up. And then
maybe
and
not then get wait. It to boiling.
Yeah. Wait or just wait because it's always freezing cold anyway.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, even one canister, that's probably enough for us to both wash our hands and face.
Yeah. That would be nice.
So we can do that. I can just pour one into the French press and then immediately start a second one.
Yeah. That would be really nice.
But the organization part. I've been wanting that too.
Cause I would like to have like, cause everything's in the Pelican.
Yeah. We have a giant Pelican's like Pelican 1660, which holds all of our camping
gear. Yeah. So I'd like a small container. Cause I like to build a fire and it's hard for me to know what our camping trips are far enough apart that I forget what we've run out of. Mm-hmm. Like we ran out of toilet paper. So we were using paper towels. mm-hmm. Normally, you know, I have like, wet wipes so that we can like at least like get our hands sort of clean. And then, but we didn't have any of those. And then we were out of like the long matches and we were out of like the fire starters. And it would just be nice to be able to take quick inventory when we're already on the road. Cause we usually don't do our grocery shopping until like the last grocery store before we camp. Mm-hmm. It would just be nice to be able to take a quick inventory and be like, yes, we have matches. Yes, we have fire starter. Yes, we have like paper bags to like crumple up to build fire. Yes, we have toilet paper. Yes, we have this, you know, instead of everything kind of being in that, you know, jet black Pelican kind of stacked on top of each other.
Yeah. One of the things that, one of the cases I've seen, mm-hmm. they're made by Front Runner.
Mm-hmm. Are those the pull out ones?
I think I've shown these to you.
You've shown me a lot of containers.
They don't pull out because then you have to find a way to make them not pull out when you're driving.
Yeah.
So what I don't want to do is like a build out that weighs like 500 pounds, like wood drawers and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
But they do have, Front Runner makes these cases that are so cheap and I forget what they're called. I think they're called Wolf Packs. Mm-hmm. And they're basically just small stackable plastic containers, but they're small enough and they stack well and they're made to be tied down. So we could take basically what we have in our Pelican and just distribute it across a bunch of smaller cases.
Yeah. And have it labeled.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then if we go to the grocery store, we can like look in the whatever, the kitchen box and make sure.
There's a kitchen box. There's like a bathroom box.
Yeah.
And then we could just keep like, in like the bathroom box, we could just have toilet paper, like wet wipes, toothpaste, like that kind of stuff just constantly lives in there.
Yeah. We can even leave toothbrushes in.
We could leave toothbrushes in there.
So we don't have to pack our toiletries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's then cool. I mean, we could have like a firebox. So yeah. We know.
Like they're pretty inexpensive. Just haven't really bothered to do that, but those are,
I mean, the Pelican's super nice. It's cool, but it's not.
Well, I think the original reason we went with that was because the goal of having that was to have all our camping gear in one container so that we can easily stick it in the truck when it's time to go camping, take it out when it's not, mm-hmm. but it ends up just staying in there 100% of the time.
Because originally we didn't have the camper on top.
Right.
You were putting a bike in the back. And then all of our camping gear was in the Pelican. And because we were in San Francisco, we didn't want to leave anything in the truck that could get stolen. So we had to bring everything back up to our apartment every time, which was, the Pelican was great for that. I mean, yeah, it weighed like a gazillion pounds and it took two of us to get it in and out of the truck. But now that we have the camper and now that we're not in San Francisco, like things just stay in the truck. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I bet we could sell that pelican and it would cover the cost of those shelves.
It'd cover probably two or three of them. Yeah. So, yeah, that'd be good. And then the only thing we wouldn't be able to put in there is like the big stuff, which is, I think, only the cast iron skillet thing that we cook on. But yeah, almost everything else will fit in there. So, but that has its own bag, so that can just
yeah,
sit
we
in
could
the
just
bag.
Secure that up against the side of the fridge or something.
Yeah,
yeah. So that would be nice, just because we did do this last camping trip at the last minute, and I didn't think about what we had run out of last time. And that last time we camped was like 3 months ago. I don't know if my memory is that good anymore.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's easy. That's easy. Peasy. That's easy fix.
Yeah. It would also be nice if we could get some sort of container system that created like a little bit of a stair step up to the sleeping area so Baxter could get up and down on his own without having to be lifted.
Yeah. I mean, those containers work fine for that too.
Okay. Because so. I think he would like being able to get up and down on his own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Instead of being lifted. He's not a dog who likes to be carried. We never carried him as a puppy because I didn't know how big he was going to get. Hi, Parker. Are you just purring up a storm here?
Yeah. So, anything else to mention? Anything worth mentioning?
I want to get a Christmas tree.
Okay. Christmas tree.
I was just dying to go Christmas decoration shopping when we were in Target yesterday. Like, like my soul ached for Christmas.
Yep.
I don't know why.
After Thanksgiving.
I want to get a tree before Thanksgiving. Anyways, we've had this discussion.
We wanted
already.
To live until Christmas. We're trying to decide where to put it because we can either put it in, we have this little like, I don't really even know what to call it, but it's like a nook loft thing. Our condo is basically one giant room, but there's a corner of it where somebody, the previous owner, has built like a loft. And so it created this almost like smaller room within a room. And so we could put it in there and then we can get a normal size tree. But if we don't put it in there, then we have to get a tree that's freaking ginormous. Otherwise, it's going to look like a miniature Christmas tree because our ceilings are too tall in the rest of the house.
Yeah. I mean, the ceilings aren't that. I mean, if we put it to the left of the TV, we have these air duct things that hang down low enough mm-hmm. that I don't think we need like a 20-foot tree. I think if we got like an 8-foot tree, it'd be fine. But then we also have to transport an 8-foot tree on top of our truck.
Yeah.
That's always fun.
That can be done.
Well, all right. I think that's all I have.
Yeah, I think that's good. We'll have to try more of these trails out of this book here.
Yeah, well, we should
put Robbie for the book.
Sticky notes on the ones that are open year round.
Yeah,
and that way, when we get another like weekend last minute hankering, we just can just the ones are flagged that are open year round. Maybe not.
Yeah, I mean it's pretty easy to flip through.
Maybe it's just the teacher in me that wants to flag everything with post notes.
All right, well, we'll talk to you again next time.
All right, ciao.
Bye.